We're in a study of the early church, studied through the first eight chapters. Chapter 9, we continue our study this morning toward the latter part of chapter 9, about verse 32. So far in our first eight chapters, what is in chapter 1? Ascension of Christ, Matthias, take the place of Judas. And then chapter 2, the Holy Spirit coming on the apostles, the first sermon, and the what? Establishment of the church, okay? And then in chapter 3, okay, healing of the lame man, and the persecution begins against the apostles by the Jewish rulers. And then in chapter 4, John are arrested, Christians aid to the other Christians who were in need. And then in chapter 5, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And also, all the apostles arrested and released. Chapter 6, problem arose in the church of the distribution of the needs of the Grecian widows, and because of that, the seven were chosen, the apostles laid their hands on them, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 7, have the stoning of Stephen, as he withstood the Jewish leaders and stoned him to death. And then in chapter 8, we have the scattering of the Christians because of the persecution of Saul and the conversions of the Samaritans. And in chapter 9, we have the Saul of Tarsus. And in the end of that chapter, of course, some of the works of Peter, chapter 10 this morning, version of. To introduce our lesson today, Saul of Tarsus, who was a major player in the persecution, the scattering of the Christians, had been converted. He had been baptized as Jesus appeared to him. And in the process of time, he sought to join himself to the church in Jerusalem. But the church in Jerusalem was what? They were afraid of him, right? And didn't believe that he was a disciple. They no doubt thought that he had some plan wherein he could trap them and have them arrested and possibly killed. But Barnabas brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Jesus had appeared to him on the road to Damascus, how he had been baptized, how he had been preaching in the area of Damascus. So on Barnabas' word, the church accepted him and he was with them in worship, and he boldly proclaimed the gospel and disputed with the Greeks. Now, what's unique about the fact that he's disputing with these Greeks? He himself was what? He was a Roman. He was from Cilicia. He had been among them and was their allies, but now they turned on him and they were about to kill him. So when the disciples found out about it, they brought Paul down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus, which was his home. And Galatians chapter 1 and 21 tells us that during that time he preached in the areas of Syria and Cilicia, preaching the gospel. So Paul had preached in Damascus, and now Syria and Cilicia in this area, preaching the gospel of Christ since his conversion. And, of course, the churches had peace. During this time, the church grew spiritually as well as numerically. So as we begin our lesson today in Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 32, let's read 32 through 35. As it came to pass, Peter passed throughout all quarters. He came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So, church was at peace. The apostles had stayed where? Jerusalem. So, Peter journeyed up to the area of the coast of Lydda, Joppa, Caesarea, along the plain of Sharon, preaching the gospel. And as he came to Lydda preaching, he found a man, Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years. He was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And Peter told him, arise, get up and walk. And so immediately Aeneas got up his bed, took up his bed and walked. And all of the inhabitants of Lydda and Sharon believed because of the miracle that had been done. So he had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter told him to get up and walk, rose and walked. Now, Peter didn't take the credit for this, but he said, "Aeneas, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." So Peter attributed the power to heal to Jesus. Because of that, all the inhabitants of Lydda and Sharon believed in the gospel, which was indeed the purpose of miracles. So here Aeneas is, paralyzed, had been that way for 8 years. We don't know why. We don't have to know why. But a great miracle was done in the fact that here he is out walking. And everyone that saw him, all that region believed because of the miracle that Peter had done. Then in verse 36, Peter comes down to Joppa. And there's a woman named Tabitha, or as the Greek name would be, Dorcas. And let's begin reading verse 36 through 40. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is named Dorcas. This woman was full of good deeds and alms, or good works and alms deeds which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And he opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner." So there was a woman at Joppa named Tabitha, or Dorcas by interpretation. And she was a woman who helped everyone that she could. She became ill. She died. Her body was prepared for burial. And those who had heard that Peter was there sent two men to Lydda to get Peter and asked him to come to Joppa without delay. And Peter arose and he went with them immediately. And when Peter had come, they brought him into the upper chamber where they had laid Dorcas' body. And there were all the widows gathered around weeping and showing him the coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. So Peter made them all leave the room. And he kneeled down, and he did what? Prayed. And he turned to the body of Dorcas and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and she sat up. And he took her by the hand, and she arose, and he called the widows and the ones who were present and presented to them alive. And this was known throughout Joppa, and many believed because of the miracle that Peter had performed. Peter stayed in Joppa for an extended period of time, with Simon a tanner. So this was a good woman. She was benevolent. She gave of her means to those who were in need. She made coats and garments. But she became ill and died, and her body was prepared for burial. And in other words, there was no doubt that she was dead. She wasn't just in a coma. She wasn't just asleep. She had died, and there was no doubt about it. So the disciples of the Lord sent for Peter at Lydda. And when he got there, there was a lot of sorrow. This was a great woman. She was well loved because of what she had done. So there was a lot of weeping. Peter put them out of the room and closed the door, if there was a door, I guess. And which shows us that he didn't do this miracle to be seen of. He didn't take the credit for it. Kneeled down, he prayed to God, and no, prayer to him was like us, a large part of our lives. We pray before we make important decisions. We pray before we embark in certain things that we do. So Peter prayed prior to this miracle, and when he presented her alive, these widows who were so sorrowful and mourning, their sorrow was turned to joy. And Dorcas' continued presence among the people left no doubt that this was a miracle. Here she had been dead. There was no doubt that she was dead. Her body had been washed. It had been laid in an upper room prior to preparation for her burial. Now she's alive. So people in that city was able to see her. And it was a miracle that they could see, and it left no doubt. And many believed as a result of Peter raising Dorcas or Tabitha from the dead. Any comments? I went through that pretty quick. Any comments on either one of those?
One, her body was in the room. Right. So they understood right. She wasn't with them. Right. They recognized that. Second one is more single person and definitely want someone to. I believe that if the Bible's all being added.
First point is very, very applicable. The second one, I didn't look at other translations. I just looked at the fact that it said all Sharon being an area more than a city. Did anybody look at other translations? Anybody got another translation? Other than that, we just take it literal. You know, all of Lydda and Sharon believed. Yeah. And this was a notable miracle. I mean, even the things that the apostles did on a regular basis, healing people, you know, that were paralyzed, casting out demons, you know, illnesses, those were notable miracles. But here was a woman that was dead. You know, and there goes Dorcas, you know. She died, and so, right. Take the scripture literally what it says. It says all believe. The previous miracle in where Aeneas had been healed, many believed. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry, I got confused there. And then many believe because of the other. Yes. Good point for us to think about. Anything else? Maybe, of course, all the saints would have already believed. You know, something to look at. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Come to chapter 10. There was a man in Caesarea. Caesarea was located about 30 miles north of Joppa. And after Pilate's rule ended, this became the seat of the Roman government. There was a man living there named Cornelius. He was a Roman officer with the rank of centurion, over 100 soldiers. So it would have been comparable to our captain in our army today. And his particular band of soldiers was called the Italian band. And this was a Roman. He was not a Jew. He was not a proselyte, it seems. But he was a devout, religious man. He served God. His household also served the Lord. He prayed to the Lord always for guidance. He was very benevolent in giving his money to help the needs of the people. So he was a good man, very good man, the best of men. And about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he had a vision of an angel of God appearing to him, and it scared him. He was afraid. And the angel came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said, God has remembered your prayers and the good deeds that you have done, your alms. And there is a man at Joppa named Simon, whose surname is Peter. Send men to Joppa to get him. He's lodging with Simon the tanner. His house is by the seaside. And he'll tell you what you need to do. So after the angel had left, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a trusted soldier who waited on him continually and told them all that had happened and his Joppa to get Peter. So about noon of the following day, Peter went up to the roof of Simon's house to pray while the noon meal was preparing. And he was hungry and he would have went down and eaten, but he fell into a trance and he saw a vision of the heavens opening and a vessel like a sheet, knitted 4 corners, the scripture says, descending toward him. And inside this vessel or this sheet were all manner of animals, domestic, wild beasts with 4 feet, creeping things, birds. And a voice said, Peter, arise and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. The voice replied again, do not call what God has cleansed unclean. This was done 3 times, and the vessel was taken back up into the heavens. Well, naturally, Peter was puzzled by what had happened. He wondered what it meant. And while he was puzzling over it, the men that Cornelius had sent arrived at Simon's house at the gate, asking if this was indeed where Peter was staying. The Spirit spoke to Peter and said, three men are looking for you. Don't ask anything. Just go with them because I have sent them. So Peter got up, went to them and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What do you want? And so they rehearsed to Peter why they had come. The fact that Cornelius had had the vision, that he was a God-fearing man who had a good reputation among the Jews, and that he had been told by God to send for Peter. So Peter brought them in and lodged them for the night. And the next day, he and six of the Jewish brethren, chapter 11, verse 12 tells us there were six of them, left to go to Caesarea, where they arrived the following day. Now, this was only about 30 miles. We drive that in about 30 minutes. We were on the interstate. They didn't have that option. So it took them that day into the next day to make it down to Caesarea. So when they got to Caesarea, Cornelius was waiting for them. He had called together who? Relatives, his friends, together to hear Peter. So when Peter came in, Cornelius bowed down to it. And Peter said, don't do that. Stand up. I'm just a man just like you are. And as they entered, Peter saw the ones that had gathered together in Cornelius' house. So Peter said, no, it's unlawful for a Jew to associate with one who's of another nation. But God has shown me that I shouldn't call anything unclean. So what is it that you've called me for? So Cornelius again said, 4 days ago, I had a vision about this time of day. I was fasting. And about the ninth hour, I was praying. I saw a man standing in front of me wearing bright clothing. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily he had bright colored clothing, but his clothing was bright. He was an angel. He was wearing bright clothing, and he said to me, Cornelius, God's heard your prayer and knows how you've helped others. So send a Joppa for Simon Peter, and when he comes, he'll speak to you. So I immediately did what God told me to do, and now you've come. And it's good that you've come. So we're all here. We're all present before God to hear all the things that God has commanded. So Peter opened his mouth and he began to speak. And he said, I tell you truthfully that I believe God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace to by Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. I say that you know what I'm talking about, because it was made known throughout Judea. It was made known in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healed all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things. We saw these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed, not you killed. But they killed and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses that God had chosen beforehand, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach and testify that it is he which was ordained of God be the judge of the quick and the dead. The prophets also are witnesses of this, that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on those who were listening to Peter, and they began to speak with tongues. Well, the Jews, the Jewish brethren that had come with Peter, were astonished when they saw that the Spirit had come on the Gentiles. So Peter asked, can any forbid water, where then these can be baptized, whom the Holy Spirit has come on? And he commanded them to be baptized, and then afterward they asked Peter to stay with them for a while. So Cornelius had a vision. He was a Gentile. He was a good, devout, God-fearing man. God took note of his spirituality. So why did God choose Cornelius? Well, we don't know, but he was the best of men, doing all that he could and all that he knew to serve God. But was he lost? Was. Being a good man doesn't necessarily mean that one is going to be saved from their sins. One's got to be obedient. But his heart was right with God. He feared God. He had influence among the people, both Jew and Gentile. He cared for the spiritual welfare of others. Could there have been a better man than Cornelius? No. But, again, as I said, he was lost. He had need of salvation. And there's a lesson in that, in the fact, as we're teaching our children, that there are a lot of good people in the world, and there are a lot of good people in religion. But that doesn't, just being a good person doesn't mean they're going to be saved. They have to do things that God has prescribed for us to do in obedience to Him. A good application that we can make. Any thoughts so far? Had to think about it a little while. Took him a while. But here he had the vision. God's showing him basically that there's nothing unclean anymore. That's been abolished. It's done away with. So here's Peter confused about that. Then the Spirit tells him, if the men are looking for you, don't ask questions about it. Just go with them because I've sent them. So he goes down. There they are. They tell him about Cornelius, about the fact that God had appeared to him, wanted Peter to come. I think in chapter 11 it says, when he's rehearsing this, they wanted him to utter words that he had to say. So that would explain pretty well, you know, why they wanted him to come. But still, you know, a lot for him to comprehend, but he did understand. Very, very good point. Exactly. He was a good man. Yeah. He was a good man, but he had need of something else. Now, could God have just told him, here's what you need to do to be saved? In the vision, sure he could have. But God chose that through the preaching of the gospel, the man would be saved and learn the truth. And that's what people... good points. Exactly. Yeah. Very good point. Even if Peter, an apostle, could be carried away, then... Yeah. And that's a good application that can also be made to our face a lot. In, right. Very good. And it's very true. Right. Very good point also. Indeed. And then Paul carried it on to anything else. Right. Getting a little ahead, but this is the second instance that we have, and the only other instance we have, apostles receiving the baptism on the day of Pentecost, where they spoke with tongues, of that happening. And that's why I'm sure Christians who were with Peter, let's say Paul, with Peter, were astonished when they saw what had happened. Peter had the vision of unclean animals, God showing him that law had been abolished. And Peter goes to Cornelius. He went willingly, although he did not immediately fully understand, but came to an understanding. Other Jewish brethren went with him. Cornelius received Paul as he would an angel from heaven. He had called relatives and friends to hear. Peter understood the purpose. And in his message, he stated the fact that God is no respecter of persons, that he had anointed Jesus to be Lord of all, that they were familiar with what Jesus had done in Galilee and Judea. He went about doing good. God was with him. The Jews healed him. God raised him up. We are witnesses. Prophets are witnesses. Were the prophets witnesses in the fact of what they had been revealed to them and the things that they had taught, the things that they had said? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi, all of those prophesied of the coming of Christ and what would happen, and the fact ending his lesson with everyone who believes will receive salvation. So, we look at what happened. Cornelius heard Peter preach the word. I think we can say that it's inferred by the text that they believed and that they repented in the fact that they were told to be baptized, and in chapter 11, it says that they received repentance and life. Baptized shall be saved. And then they asked Peter to stay there a while. It is interesting that they hadn't been baptized. The Holy Spirit came on them. That came later. So that was a very good point to think about. Joe, what do you think the purpose for the Holy Spirit coming on them prior to their baptism, what do you think that purpose was? I think it was to show the Jews that God had chosen the Gentiles as well as the Jews for salvation. That's the way I look at it. So, yes. Yeah. There was no doubt that God had chosen these Gentiles. He had chosen Cornelius and his family, his friends, and that God had chosen them. So they were baptized. Peter was asked to stay for a while, no doubt to teach them more fully the Word of God. So there were prophecies given of salvation to the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, the Gentiles were to seek the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse being who? Christ. Jesse was the father of David. It was through the seed of David that Christ would come. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, he was to be a light to the Gentiles. Chapter 60 and verse 3, the Gentiles would come to the light. 62 and 2, Gentiles would see thy righteousness. Malachi verse 1 and 11, name shall be great among the Gentiles. And then Jesus himself in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, name should the Gentiles trust. So there are other passages of Scripture that we could put in that. But the prophets had prophesied that the Gentiles would receive the Word. So should the Jews, if they understood and their mind was open, should they have known what was going to happen? But was their mind open? No, it wasn't. It was closed. And in a manner of speaking, to some of them, even after they became Christians, continued to be closed because they went around following the gospel being preached, teaching the Gentile Christians that they had to do what? They had to become Jews first, principally in circumcision in certain matters of the law. So some of them never understood, but they didn't want to give up what they had followed and their forefathers had followed all their lives for this new message, but they should have known. Comments before we go on.
First of your faith, all disbelief. Faith is a very, very required of man. Not as easy as reading.
Right, you're right. And even as mentioned a while ago, and as you said, even the apostles themselves had problems. You know, Thomas doubted. You know, Peter later in life disassembled himself with the Gentiles and ate with the Jews, and Paul had to withstand him to the face, he says. So even they had issues. That they were men just like we are. So it's hard sometimes. Very, very good point. Anything else? And they were brethren. They were Christians. They were Jews, but they were also brethren. They were Christians. Right. We can't take just one passage that says that's all you got to do and discount on. Anything else? Stop there. Wednesday night is singing. And thank you for your attention, your comments.